It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, and there is a new show. It's not that new, actually, but it's a show on TV that I am loving more than anything. And the guy behind that show is Larry Podash. Larry, what's going on?
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're fine. Can we quickly throw you a compliment on the anniversary show from a few weeks back?
Oh.
Very entertaining.
Thanks. Yeah. For the first time, we actually went into our VHS files to put them in our computer system. So, thankfully, we'll never have to do any of that ever again.
What do you think about Larry when you see a very young Larry Podash when those clips are shown? What is your gut reaction to that?
Well, unlike when we were all 25 and we'd look at 50-year-olds and say, gee, these people are freaking old.
Yeah.
Now I know what 25 years is, right? Wow, just a lot of bad hair and bad outfits.
Yeah, but they weren't bad back then. That's all I'm saying, because I partook in that as well.
Yeah, we also thought it was funnier back then, but the passage of time, hopefully we've grown wiser.
So I am loving Backstory. Season 4 premieres this Saturday, October 5th, 10 p.m. WGN-TV. You basically give us the backstory, hence the name. I love what you're doing with this.
Well, thanks. It's as you know, in news, you get to do 90 seconds of a news story. So we do like 7, 8, 9, 10 minute pieces. And I find that most people can give you a line or two from a Wikipedia page about whatever chapter of history. And we try to go a little bit deeper. So I have a lot of fun doing it because I love stories. And to me, I love them more when they're factual, they're real, they're part of our history.
Who comes up, Larry, with the ideas for the stories? Is that your idea, or you got a staff doing that?
No, the staff is me and a photographer named Mike D'Angelo, and we get a little bit of help, but mostly it's I've got a file full of ideas I'll never get to. But it was fun to go to Boston, my hometown, and do the Salem witches and to do the Revolution and to do 19th century spiritualism and all these things I kind of grew up with, and I got to know a little bit more about it than I did on those field trips back in sixth grade.
All right, so besides you're returning to your hometown in Boston, or is it technically Lynn, Massachusetts?
Yeah.
What else do you have coming up this season?
Well, the first episode is really interesting because it's about a guy who's a salvage guy, and he goes to this old house and he realizes, oh, my competition kind of beat me here and took everything. So he goes up to the attic to try and find something. He sees a bump in the insulation. He lifts it up, and he finds all this broken glass that he puts together like a puzzle and discovers that this is a family story that involves Hitler and a political assassination, and he uncovers this great story. So I'm excited about that, and also talked to a kid who started a Rolling Stone newsletter out of his bedroom back in the 70s and was able to get into the inner circle of the Rolling Stones. And isn't that cool when you're a big fan of a particular band or something and you get to hang out with them?
That's a dream come true.
I'm
sorry.
It wasn't all fun and games, as he learned.
I'm still trying in my head to put together the broken glass and how that could lead to Adolf Hitler, but I guess that's a good tease for watching the show, isn't it?
Yeah, the staff jokes that like 70% of my backstory stories all involve Hitler somehow.
Oh, that's quite a percentage.
That guy was everywhere.
Yeah, I guess.
That guy was everywhere. All right, I'm sure there are people listening right now or people that watch Backstory and have some ideas for you. Do you take suggestions from the audience?
Oh, absolutely. That's where I get some of my best ideas sometimes. One of them someone gave me at a cocktail party, the missile silos that are all over Chicago, and people don't even know. They meet bicycling right on top of one and not even know it. So we take a look at that. But if they want to email me or hit me up on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, I love getting them.
Can we go back, Larry, for a second to the witch one that you did in Boston?
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong on this, but back then they would test you for being a witch. They would throw you out of a boat, and if you floated, you were a witch, and they would kill you. But if you sank, you weren't a witch, and you would die from drowning. Was that the best way to discover whether or not they were witches, do you think?
No, here's a better one, and I bring this up in the story. They would make you a urine cake.
Yeah.
It's a cake.
I had one for my birthday last year.
Yeah, and then they feed it to the dog, and then the dog is supposed to kind of like, you know, bark at the person who's the witch, whatever. You know, it's just ridiculous. It's just, it's really, when I read the books about the Salem witch trials, even though I had a general idea of what it was about, it was just so depressing and sad that these people, these innocent people, were, you know, were killed over just stupidity.
Was there some hidden agenda that we're not aware of that they were using? Why would they want to put these women through this? It didn't make sense. I don't understand why they would do this to them.
Well, it's a long story, but these people are living in fear from Indian attacks and attacks from the French, and there's disease and there's cold and there's all this stuff going on. And of course, you're living with Puritans, which is no barrel of laughs.
I know.
And it's like they just cracked, and one kid cracked and the next kid cracked, and suddenly they're all cracking. And the next thing you know, everybody's pointing a finger at somebody saying, oh my God, you're a witch. No, you're a witch. And it's a big free for all. And it's really sad. It's a big, like, sociology experiment or study, if you will. And the thing about Salem compared to overseas in Europe was Salem was small.
Right.
And so people have been able to study it. And I got to interview one of those people who's been studying it for decades.
You know, if this was old times, Bill, you would point me out to people and say I was a witch.
I have done that. I've done that recently.
And I'd be turned into a urinal cake or something like that.
All right.
There's a texter, Larry Potash. We live in Milwaukee, can't get WGN-TV. Can we get the backstory on demand or in some other way? That's a great question.
It live streams on WGNTV.com, so that's one. And the other is they're typically posted online after they air, probably like Monday or Tuesday, and then there's the podcast. Those are wherever you get podcasts. They typically post after it airs on TV. So there are multiple ways to get a hold of it. But thank you for asking. Yes.
Yeah, that's area code 414. And 847 says, I've got a herniated disc. That's my bad backstory.
Oh.
He would like to be booked as a guest.
That'd be a wonderful episode. Larry,
sure.
This impression that Pat Tomasulo does of you, what do you like about it and what do you hate about it?
I don't hate anything about it.
No?
I think he's got it pretty on. I think he captures my disdain for my co-anchor. It's a multidimensional impersonation that he does. I don't know that my voice is that low, but at least we can tell who's who.
You know, I don't feel like we're all old enough to have been on the air that long. I mean, congratulations on you and Robin and Paul and Pat and everybody else. It's just amazing. I mean...
Well, thanks. I feel like we're all at college and we're just like at different dorms or something,
yeah.
You know? Hey, it's Bill and Wendy calling. Let's go have a party.
But the one thing that special did more than anything was it would show how consistently funny you guys are and how you really seem to be enjoying yourselves. And in a business where that's not always the case, you know, you get so many people just kind of slugging through it. You guys are an exception to that rule, and it's so much fun to watch.
Well, sometimes the commercial breaks are more entertaining than the actual air product. But, you know, we're friends, and we kind of identify with each other. We have a similar sense of humor, and as you know, this authentic, you know, social media thing, this is like a big buzzword now, but we were just doing that, always doing that, because that's just who we are, and I think a lot of anchors in our industry, it's like they go to anchor school, and they feel like they got to be a certain way, and boy, in this day and age, when you're competing with the phone, you've got to be able to be yourself, and, you know, not this anchor robot, and fortunately, we didn't need the cell phone kicking our behinds to learn that lesson. We just decided that that's just what we're going to do.
Are you kind of surprised, I mean, that you were able and continue to be able to be yourselves? Because when you look at other news stations, no one is having fun and then can turn it right around and be a credible journalist.
Well, there's two things. To WGN's credit, a variety of managers, they let us do it because the ratings are good.
And that's
if the
true.
Ratings weren't good, they probably would have kept us from doing it. But also, you know, you can see when we started to get some traction in the ratings, you could see the managers telling people over at the other channels, be funnier, you know, start laughing. And, you know, if you're not funny off the air, you're not going to be funny on the air, and you should just do what you do really well and stick with what you do well and play your position. And sadly, a lot of our competitors just kind of are reading the teleprompter like they did 35 years ago, and that's good for us, so don't say anything to them.
I won't say
a
word.
But some of your competitors are the network shows. It's Good Morning America, and it's the Today Show, and you guys are taking those guys down. That's unheard of. That's spectacular.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, we would all be fired on day one at Good Morning America. Like, they,
yep.
They all those networks, they take themselves very, very seriously. And to them, fun is, well, we're going to cook a tuna salad today.
Right.
You know, and to me, that's just not why people watch morning news. So, you know, good luck to them.
Yeah. I want to bring back the 25th anniversary primetime special again, because we talked to Pat Tomasulo when an audience member asked, you know, have you done anything that
might get you fired? You thought you might get fired. Yeah.
And my favorite part, you know, Pat had mentioned kind of what it was. And
yeah, I know what you're referring to.
I just love how irritated you got at the very end of the special. That's what I liked more than anything, Larry.
Who, me?
Yes.
Oh, I don't even remember. What did I do?
You were talking about you couldn't say a particular something, but I'm on the air calling Robin this every day. What's the big deal?
Oh, yeah. I vaguely remember that. But
it was funny to me. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, I mean, Robin is a great sport, and there are not many TV people who would allow themselves to take the pie in the face every day the way Robin does. And it's all meant with love.
Absolutely.
We'll all be watching Backstory, Larry. It premieres this Saturday, October 5th at 10 p.m. right there on WGN-TV. Good luck with that episode and the rest of the season. We're all looking forward to it.
Thanks, Bill and Wendy. Appreciate it. Take care, guys.
Absolutely.
He's on Facebook and Twitter at Larry Potash, or Instagram at Larry underscore Potash. Is that what you say, underscore?
I think you're supposed to say it that way, yeah.
And it's good to know that you can stream those live streams of the Backstory, and also the day after they air. They do encore presentations on WGN-TV, but you can also find it online.